upon my destiny, upon my purpose in this earth. Shake yourself.
We've been quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together in Him in heavenly places.
I've got news for you. Anything that Jesus says in this book, it's not false.
Some more of these guys, and they're going to be coming on the scene. We're going to see revivals. We're going to see things change.
Now, why can you be strong in the Lord? Because He's delegated authority to you. It's in Him. It's in Him.
The church needs to carry out the Great Commission of Christ. You better read it.
Right, wonderful. So it's great to be here once again. And Harry prayed for the weather to be better, I guess.
Yeah.
And it did turn out better because it was snowing in Oshawa. And when I got on the 401, it wasn't the best, but once I got on 115, it turned out really good. So praise God for that. And because I came from Oshawa. So, but anyhow, last week I was going to teach on the grace of God. That's what I was going to teach on. And it's a great topic, and I have a lot of revelation on the grace of God. What is the grace of God? And 2 days ago, I was writing in my journal, and I was writing something about my father when he passed away. It's going to be a year, January 18th, this week. It's going to be a year he passed away. I found him in his chair downstairs, and I was writing on that. And the Lord really began to minister to me. So I really felt that I was supposed to teach on what I'm going to teach on tonight, which I call the judgments of God. It's not a very popular subject, but it's a reality. It's a great reality.
Amen.
So my first exhortation tonight is, those of us who are in Christ are saved from what? In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by free grace," the Amplified Bible, "God's unmerited favor that we are saved," that word saved there is the word sozo, "delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through our faith. And this salvation is out of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God." Most translations don't add the word judgment in there, but the Amplified is right. We got saved from a judgment. And what judgment is that? We got saved from the great white throne judgment.
Yes.
And I'm going to get into the judgments tonight. The Bible has much to say about the judgments of God, okay? But we got saved unless you backslide and unless you lose your salvation. Now, maybe some people here don't believe and you're losing your salvation. Well, that's not scriptural either. You can lose your salvation. God doesn't move away from you. You can move away from God because you have a free will, right? So, it's caused a lot of controversy in the church over the years. And I don't want to get into that tonight, but I know for a fact you can lose your salvation. But we were saved, ultimately, when we got born again, those who are born again here, we got saved from the judgment of God, the great white throne judgment. Okay, that's exhortation number one. My exhortation number two was a week ago. I didn't even think about this since my father passed away. And I know the Lord brought this back to me. When my father passed away, as anybody else will pass away, but I can speak from first-hand experience because I found him 2 hours, I think about 2 hours after he passed away downstairs. After my dad passed away, he left things behind. And it's almost been a year, and it just dawned on me, and I know the Lord brought that to me. What did my dad leave behind when he passed away? First of all, he left his wife behind, his spouse, my mother, because she's still alive. He left me behind, his son. He left other family members, his two brothers and families. He left relatives behind. He left his friends behind. He left his house, his property, his garage. He left his vehicle behind, even food. He had stored up food in the fruit cellar. He left that all behind. He left his bank accounts behind. He left his clothes behind, his garage, his workshop, his tools. And maybe most importantly, He left his physical body behind when he passed away. That all came to me last week. And that happens to all of us. It's going to happen to all of us, and it happens to everybody who's passed away. Now, I just want to touch on this a little bit. What part do we leave behind? I mean, what part, when we leave our body behind, all these things, what part of us goes to heaven or to hell? In our case, those who are born again, we go to heaven. My dad went into heaven. Okay, he was born again. So what part of him went into heaven?
Spirit.
And?
Soul.
Thank you. Spirit and soul. The spirit and his soul went into heaven, but he left his body behind. In his case, to be cremated. And I want to get into that. Okay? Number one point. All will be judged. All of us. Every human being that was born on this planet, starting with Adam and Eve, who was not born, who was created by God, will be judged. We will be judged. We will stand under a judgment. One or another of a judgment. I just want to go over this real quick. There's three key words in the New Testament Greek for the word judgment. Three key words, and I'm going to just go over them real quick here. They're very interesting. The first one is the word krima. K-R-I-M-A. I'm going to go over the definitions real quick, because all my videos are all teaching videos. The people in Africa, they love the Greek and the Hebrew. They love my teaching. Now we're making DVDs now. My first DVDs I'm making now, they're all in French, and they're for Togo. The nation of Togo. Yeah. We've got schools planted in the Congo, Republic Democratic Congo. We've got two schools planted in Kenya. We've got a school planted in Angola. We got a school planted in Zambia. We got a school planted in Togo. And we're planting one in Haiti, which is not Africa. And I just came in contact with a guy today. He's been in contact with me for quite a while now. And he's in Liberia. And we're going to plant a school there too. Now these are small schools to start off with. Okay, they're not like huge buildings. But I don't despise small beginnings. You got to start somewhere.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So the first key word here, krima, literally means simply a judgment, a verdict, a lawsuit, sometimes implying an adverse verdict, as in a condemnation, a case at law. Okay, that's the word krima. Second Greek word is the word krino. They're all family words. They start with a K. Krino. K-R-I-N-O. This means I judge, I decide, whether in a law court or privately, sometimes with cognate nouns emphasizing the notion of the verb, meaning I decide, I make a decision. Okay? You know, people say we're not allowed to judge. Well, you know what? Every time you make a decision, you're making a judgment. You are. In the true sense of the word judge, I'm not talking about judging like, I mean, judging saying, you're going to hell, there's no hope for you. No, I don't believe in that. That's wrong. But even in judging, you know, when you go out to buy a piece of clothing, and you decide to buy one piece of clothing over another piece, you've just made a judgment. Okay? You've actually said, I like that one better than that one. You've just made a judgment. That's like two people. You meet two people, you get to know them, and you choose to be friends with one over the other. You've just made a judgment. Okay? The third word, the last one here, I want to just mention here, is the word krisis. Krisis. K-R-I-S-I-S. Now this one has the idea, has the idea of divine judgment, divine decision, sentencing, accusation, divine accusation. Okay? We're going to look at these tonight. Very interesting what the word has to say about it. I did this study this morning. It took me about 4 hours to do it. And I tell you, it brought a lot of light to what the Word has to say about judgment. So all will be judged. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. For the Word of God speaks, is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the divine line of the breath of the soul and the immortal spirit. There it is, spirit and soul. And of joints and marrow, of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's the part of us that's going to be judged. It's the heart. And I'm going to get into that. In Hebrews 4:13, I just read 13 there in the Amplified, Hebrews 4, in the New King James, it says, no creature hidden from his sight, God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eye of him to whom we must give an account. To whom we must give an account. When?
Judgment day.
On the judgment day. The judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to get into that tonight. Hebrews 9:27. But here also, this has to do for everybody. So this includes the great white throne judgment too, right? Because this is all about all will be judged. Okay? All. So Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that, the certain judgment.
Yes.
1 Peter 4:17. For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God, and it begins with us. What will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? So here, he's talking about two groups of people. Those who believe and those who don't believe. Okay? So that was my first point, was concerning all will be judged. These verses are concerning all, saved and unsaved. Now I'm going to start breaking it down a little bit. Okay? The first primary judgment is going to take place on this planet. Okay? I believe it is anyhow. Matthew 25:31-46. Matthew 25:31-46. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, His majesty and splendor, and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. 32. All nations will be gathered before Him. All the nations of the world. All the nations of all the continents will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them, the nations, the people, from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Verse 33. And He will cause the sheep to stand at His right hand, but the goats at His left hand. 34. I'm skipping a few verses after that here. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation, inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We skip down to verse 41 and then 46. 41. Then He will say to those at His left hand, be gone from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but those who are just and upright and in right standing with God, that's us, into eternal life. Very sobering.
Mm-hmm.
Very sobering. And this awaits us all. This awaits us all. All of us. Whether you believe it or not, I don't care. One of the first things that God began to deal with me after I got born again, was the judgments. And I'll tell you, it didn't put a fear of God in me, of being afraid of God, but I think it brought a lot of things into perspective. that I'm going to actually stand before the one who saved me in Drummondville in 1994, Drummondville, Quebec. That's where I got born again, brother.
Okay.
Yeah. The one who saved me, I'm actually going to give an account to him one day. I'm going to come face to face with him. Not just me, all of us. All of us. I'm going to touch on here the judgment of fallen angels. They're going to be judged. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we, Christians, are to judge the very angels and pronounce opinion between right and wrong for them? How much more then as to matters pertaining to this world and of this only, this life only? 2 Peter 2:4. For God did not even spare angels that sinned. Remember, a third of the angels followed Lucifer. A third of the angels followed Lucifer. For God did not even spare angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. Pits of gloom. Remember, where those angels are where the people are going to be when they go to hell. They're going to be there in these pits of gloom. Jude 6. And angels who did not care for, guard, and hold to their own first place of power. That's what I'm saying. See, a third of them left. But abandoned their proper dwelling place. These God has reserved in custody in eternal chains, bonds, under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and doom of that great day. This is serious. I meditate this stuff. I want this stuff to become a reality. Because this is what makes great preachers. I'm not out to become a great preacher. Because that would be kind of a pride thing. You know what I mean? But I do want to become an effective preacher.
Amen.
I want to become effective. When I preach, I want God to move. Whether I'm preaching to the believers, or teaching to the believers, or preaching to the lost, I want to make sure that God is going to do something. If I'm opening up my mouth and I'm saying a bunch of stuff and God's not moving, I might as well just go home. I want to make sure the anointing, the Holy Spirit's moving. Number 4, the great white throne judgment, which is for unbelievers. Unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. In order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe, who refused to adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth. On the truth. Now we know who the truth is. It's King Jesus. Right? He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
Okay?
Amen.
Those who reject Jesus, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:9. Now if all these things are true, then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. 2 Peter 3:7. But the same word in present heavens and earth have been stored up, reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. The destruction of the ungodly. Revelation. This is a big one here. I remember I saw this quite a few years ago. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. The Amplified again here. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one, capital O, God, who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Verse 12. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and the books were opened. The books. I heard a preacher. I won't mention his name. I should, but I won't. He said, God don't have a little black book. I said, is that right? I think God's got big black books. Because the Bible says the books are going to be opened. The books are going to be opened. So don't come and tell me that God don't have a little black book. He's got a black book, all right. Maybe it's not black, but he's got books. And there's things written in those books, like our names. And maybe some names won't be in there. We're going to get into that. The books were opened. Then another book was opened. So you've got books, plural. And then you've got the book, which is the book of life. The book of life. This is huge. This is huge. I was doing this today, I'll tell you. It really ministered to me. And the dead were judged, sentenced. Once you're in the great white throne judgment, there's no hope for you. You can't repent. There's no repentance. Repentance is here on this earth. You repent before you die. No purgatory. No purgatory. I said no purgatory. And I'm doing that for the video's sake. No purgatory. None. And there's actually a denomination out there. I won't mention their name either.
Yeah,
we don't get into that. But there's a denomination out there. They say that you can repent in the judgment seat, in the great white throne judgment. You'll be able to repent. That's a heresy. That's a heresy. That is not just a false teaching. That's a heresy. Because everybody would repent once they're in the great white throne judgment. When they find out they're going to hell, they'd all repent. Meaning nobody go to hell. I wish it was like that. I wish it was. But it's not. It's not. It's not scriptural. Okay? And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done. By what they had done. Their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. So don't come and tell me, preacher, that God don't have a little black book.
Amen. It's a record.
13. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. 14. Oh my goodness. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. 15. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. I found a post the other day on Facebook, and I put it on my Facebook page. When I find a good one, I'll post it onto mine. And this one had this verse here, and I said, does the Bible really say that? Names are not found in the book of life, they'll be heard into. And I never bothered checking it out. There was a verse underneath. And then I started doing the study, and there was. Wow, they're going to be hurled into the lake of fire.
Not purgatory.
Not purgatory. The lake of fire. I told somebody once, and I kind of said that maybe sometimes I maybe not take hell as seriously as I should. I said, well, hell is a type of resort. It's a type of resort. And they said, what do you mean it's a type of resort? Well, there's a lake there. There's a lake. but it's a lake of fire.
Yeah, apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a type of resort, but it's not a good resort. It's not a resort I want to go to. Not even for 1 minute. Like people are going to go there for eternity.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on here. It's not all doom and gloom. Number five is the judgment seat of Christ for the judgment seat of Christ for the believers. First Corinthians 3:10-15. Very interesting. According to the grace, verse 10, according to the grace, the special endowment for my task, Paul's talking here, the Apostle Paul, of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation. And now another man is building upon it, but let each man, men and women, be careful how he builds upon it. Be careful how you build upon the foundation. 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is who? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's the foundation. Christ. He's our foundation. And we need to build upon that. Who Christ is. What Christ is. What He's done for us. Okay? 12. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, 13, the work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is, for the day of Christ, judgment seat of Christ, will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done. What we do here in this earth will go under severe, I use the word scrutiny, will come under severe scrutiny. I even use the word inquisition. How many are familiar with the Inquisition? Back in the what, 1400s, 1500s, 13? During the Reformations? Horrible time to live. During the Dark Ages. I'll tell you. They were brutal. If they found you guilty of heresy, as a heretic, they didn't just kill you. They tortured you. And we know who it was. It's the big RC church. Right? RC? I don't want to mention it, but...
No.
That's who it was. That's who it was behind the Inquisition. The Inquisitions. Yeah, there's other Inquisitions too. I just did a video on that, on the Reformation, the pre-reformers, Tyndale, John Huss, all these guys. Some of these guys got burned alive for wanting to translate the Bible from Latin into the common language for the common man. Got burned alive, some of these guys. Yeah, that's how sick religion is. Yeah. Getting them kept back to this. With fire, and the fire will test, okay, critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done. 14. If the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his efforts, whatever, survives this test, he will get his reward. So if your work survives the test, you will get a reward for that work. But there's always the Bible's full of buts. It's full of buts. There's always a but somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his reward, though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through fire.
Test.
Well, I don't want to get saved as if by fire. I want to get in there real good and well done, my faithful servant. You know, yeah, that's what I want to go through. I don't want to be part of this.
Medium rare.
Yeah, medium rare. Yeah, crispy critters, man. I'll tell you, I'm not interested in that. You know, this is better than going to hell. At least they're getting into heaven. But I want something a lot better than this. You know. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Amplified. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, concerning what his purpose and motive have been and what he has accomplished, achieved, been busy with, given himself and his attention to accomplishing. Everything we do on this planet is done through the human body. Most of the sin is done through the human body, right? Most of it. And most of the good things that we do is through the human body, especially through our hands, right? Our hands, we do so many things with our hands every day. We do everything, right? From eating, drinking, taking a shower, to whatever, you know, to hitting people. I'm not saying we do that, but I'm just saying, look at everything that's happening in the world. The wars, terrorism, all that.
Yeah.
If they had no hands, if they had no arms, they couldn't do 3/4 of that stuff. They couldn't. There wouldn't be no wars. If people had no body, there'd be no wars. There'd be none of that stuff. All of that stuff is done through human hands. All of it. Torture. Cutting heads, people's heads off. Hands. With a knife. Hands. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to give an account what we've done with our body. Very clear here. Very clear. Revelations 14:13. I love this one here too. Then I heard further, perceiving the distinct words of a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed, happy, to be envied are the dead from now on who die in the Lord. Yes, blessed, happy, to be envied indeed, says the Spirit, in that they may rest from their labors, talking about believers here, for their works, their deeds do follow, attend, and accompany them. I remember I saw that years ago, and I said, wow. I said, the only things that I'm going to go into heaven with are my works, what I've done. My spirit and my soul, but my works, because my works are going to be judged, right? We just read that in 1 Corinthians 3.
Yes.
Our works will be put under scrutiny. Our works,
yes.
Right? So when I go into heaven, I'm bringing all my works with me, good and bad and ugly. And hopefully I'll have a whole lot more good than the bad and the ugly. Okay? Because they're going to be put under scrutiny. They're going to be put under scrutiny. They're going to be judged. Yeah. And if they pass the test, I get a reward. If they don't, I lose a reward. Okay? This is worth meditating on, this stuff. So, in conclusion, you can teach or preach on this from an attitude of condemnation. Or you can preach and teach on it with an attitude, if I can use the word attitude, of conviction. And that's the whole point when you're teaching on this kind of stuff. Some people call this the hard sayings of the Bible. There's a guy, he's quite famous within the charismatic camp. I'm going to mention his name because he's a good guy. When they're not too good, I don't mention their names. Because I don't want to drop names, stuff like that. But this guy's name is Bert Farias. And he's written some great articles in Charisma Magazine. He's on the internet, the whole thing. He's got some really, really good revelation. And I really get a lot. I've connected with him on Facebook. And we really have the same things working in our ministries. And you teach on this stuff to bring the church back to where it should be. And the church is us, right? We're the church, right? We're the body of Christ, right? So you teach this stuff. You know, I believe in being blessed. I believe in the teachings on being blessed, prosperity. I believe in that. I don't believe in the way that, you know, we've talked about this before. I think the last time I was here was maybe the first time. I believe in being prospering. I believe that because it's everywhere in the Bible. But what I have a hard time with is how these guys prosper. Yeah, it's a real problem. You know, they use verses out of context. to get money out of people and stuff like that, okay? But I believe in prosperity. I do. So God wants to bless us. God wants to prosper us. God wants to strengthen us. You know, God wants us to have a good life on this earth. But at the same time, there's work to get done. There's work. There's work. Because once I'm gone, I don't come back here. I'll come back one day when heaven comes on the earth, you know, but I don't get to live this life again in the flesh, the way we are now. There's no reincarnation. So no purgatory, no reincarnation. What else can we hit tonight? Why not? You know? No, it's true. There's none. I'm not going to come back as, even a human being, I'm not going to come back as an owl. I'm not going to come back as an antelope, a lion, an ant, or a shark. How stupid can you get? How stupid. Yeah. But that's what happens when you're ignorant of the truth. That's what happens when you're ignorant. And God does not want us to be ignorant. God wants us to be full of His knowledge.
Amen.
Because that's what it says in Colossians 1, 1, 9 and 10. Paul writes to the church, the Colossians. He says here, he prays that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will. The full, deep, clear knowledge of His will. Of His will. But He didn't stop there. He went on to say, in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Why, Paul? Why? Well, he gives us the answer in verse 10. So that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work. 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 Our works are going to be judged. Our works. If we get these works happening in our life, we pass the test. Flying colors. Boom. No problem. Steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Ephesians 2:10, it says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For what?
Good works.
Good works. That God has planned beforehand that we may walk in them. So God has works, good works, that He's planned beforehand. Those are the works that are going to pass the test. I heard a really good teaching on this by Gary Carpenter. I met him in 2008, Tulsa, Oklahoma. One of the best Bible teachers in the world. He's not even on TV. He should be on TV. The guys who should not be on TV, they're on TV. And the guys, they're on TV, they shouldn't be on TV. We got all screwed up. We got to change that. He said that the Lord told him this, and I believe it. He said, I will reward you, or I will reward my people, those who have allowed me to work through them, okay. And I will reward them as if they did it themselves.
Okay.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's good teaching. That's a whole lot better than stuff I hear today. He's going to reward us for the works that we've allowed Him to do, those good works in Ephesians 2:10, and then He's going to reward us as if we did them. Yeah, wow.
Wow.
So anyhow, I want to leave you with that. And I want to thank you once again for having me here. Harry, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I made a note in my journal the second time I came out here. I made a note when I went home. I said I like the atmosphere here because there's no religion here.
Amen.
There's no religion here.
No purgatory either.
No purgatory. No purgatory, that's for sure. But there's no religion here. I'm free to share the word, dress the way I come with my Boeing shirts. I love my Boeing shirts because I'm believing God for a plane. He told me I could. And it's going to make things a lot easier in traveling. And but there's no religion here. And you guys come as you are. You have a bite to eat. You come dressed as you are. And I think that's the way Jesus wants us to be.
Amen.
You know, not getting all dressed up on Sunday morning. And then going home and putting on your dirty clothes again. And going into your closet doing stuff you shouldn't be doing. God sees it anyhow, but you're hiding it from everybody else. No. God's not interested in that. He looks at the heart. Is that what we read today? He looks at the heart.
Amen.
He looks at our heart. That's what's going to be judged. The contents of our heart. The motives. What we've done. Why we did it. You know? You gave a lot of money away, but why did you give all that money away? Why? You know, to find favor with God? You're trying to buy a miracle with God? You're trying to buy a blessing by giving money? No. No. When you bring your works before God, the Father's going to look over to Jesus. And he's going to say, Jesus, show him your hands.
Yeah.
Jesus, show him your feet. Jesus, let's play some of those previews that we filmed from heaven, what you did at the cross. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see what his works look like. You can't bring your works before God.
No.
You can't. To get into heaven anyhow, or even to get blessings from God, you can't bring your works. Because God already has works planned beforehand. And I spent quite a few years wanting to discover from God what those works were. I didn't want to get into works. I didn't want to start doing my own thing, even though I was. You know, you got to start somewhere, you know. And as I would spend time with God, God began to show me things, what he wanted me to do.
Yes.
Some things, what I was doing, it was his will. Some other things, no. So I said, okay, sorry. And I just put that aside, and I just went down this path. And then next thing you know, God opens up doors,
yes,
connects you with people, gives you revelation, you know, and that's all part of those good works that he's planned beforehand. Because those are the only works. It's the only works that are going to stand the test on the judgment.
Yeah.
It's the only works.